tonight. Thank God for what he does in my life and your life tonight. And I want to preach a title tonight or a subject, When the Light Suddenly Appears. When the light just suddenly appears. You know, if you've ever been in a hunting stand and you go out there before dark, you can sit there and it'll be pitch dark and all of a sudden the light will appear. It'll just get daylight. You can't call it up. You can't warm it up. You can't do nothing. It'll just get daylight. You can be sitting there and can't see the field, can't see nothing in front of you, and all of a sudden the light will just appear. It'll just open up just so beautifully. And that's God tonight. That's what he does, but also spiritually, that's what he does. He don't only do it in the physical realm, but he does it in the spiritual realm. So tonight, standing with the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 1, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. And the Bible says, Acts 9, verse number 1, and the Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him in to Damascus." Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, I want to say it's good to be in your house tonight. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the prayer request that's mentioned tonight. Lord, I pray you bless everyone tonight that lift up a prayer request. Lord, I pray for the one that is going to have their pancreas worked on. I pray you get them off that table physically and spiritually. Lord, I pray tonight, Father God, for the ones all over this room tonight that had up prayer requests tonight. I pray you touch them. I pray you touch Brother Brent as he's at home tonight. I pray you touch my family as they're at home tonight. I pray you touch the ones that, Father, that hadn't been able to cook in a month, but now they're cooking. The ones that's got a report that the cancer's gone. I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that as we study that the light appears, Lord, I pray if there's someone under the sound of my voice that is living in darkness, that don't know what it is to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, never been to Calvary, never been to that place in their life where you called them, Father, I pray tonight would be that night. Father, I love you and I thank you for a Wednesday night Bible study. I thank you tonight that your word is true tonight. I thank you that it's infallible tonight. I thank you tonight that we can stand on it. And Lord, I pray that you have your will and way. Lord, I pray as Brother Boyd said, and I agree with him, Father God, I sure do wish you'd move through here in a mighty way. I pray revival would start out here, Father God, like never before. I pray you'd sit down on everybody at this church, and Lord God, and we'd know that you've been in the house. Father, I love you. I thank you. I ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything I say be all about you and nothing about me. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. The light suddenly appears. Tonight as we come to this text and we read it tonight, Saul was headed to Damascus. And when he was headed to Damascus, that would be where the synagogues would be, and that's where the Christians would be. And he was going there, and he was headed to Jerusalem. He was going to go get them, bring them back to Jerusalem to persecute them or even kill them. But he ran slap into Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus when he was going on that road, going about life's highway, doing his own thing, doing it his way, the way he wanted to do it. He run right slap into Jesus Christ. Friends, you know what? In my life, I'll never forget the day I was living life the way I wanted to. I was living it up, doing anything I wanted to do under the sun. Hey, but I run smack into Jesus Christ. And I want you to know tonight, when you run into Jesus, there's something that'll take place in your life tonight. I thank God for the book of Acts, and we study it down tonight. But I want to look at that suddenly. That's a Bible word tonight. Suddenly tonight. You know what? That suddenly, that spirit came upon him. Suddenly that light shined down from heaven. And I want you to know tonight what will happen or what takes place when the Spirit of God or that light suddenly appears and that word opens up to you tonight. Number one, can I say to you tonight, when that light appears unto you, Jesus will confront you. Look what the Bible says, if you will with me, in verse number 4. I love this tonight. He says that Jesus, He will confront you. Have you ever been sitting in a service and you sat in and it's all dry and dead, ain't much going on? Everybody would wish they was at home and instead of at church, and you're thinking about your power bill. Hey, you're thinking about what you're going to eat after church. You're thinking about what you're going to do at work tomorrow. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God sets down on you. Hey, and you ain't in church no more. Hey, but you done went to worship. Hey, that's what Paul had done here. He was going on that Damascus road. He was going about life's highway, doing his own thing. And all of a sudden, Jesus confronted him right there where he was at. And I love what the Bible says here in verse number 4. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, well, he was going to persecute Christians. He wasn't persecuting Jesus. Can I say to you tonight, Jesus Christ, He is the head of the church. Can I get an amen? And when any Christian gets persecuted, any of us get talked about, any of us get run down, any of us get just talked about in a way that is not nice tonight, I want you to know it's not coming against you, hey, but it's coming against Jesus Christ. And tonight I want you to know when Jesus confronts you, number one, He will immediately confront you. Hey, won't be no warning. You'll have no heads up. You'll have no warning. You'll have no red light. You'll have no green light, Brother Austin. Hey, when that Spirit of God confronts you on your Damascus road, I want you to know He'll immediately come on you. Hey, everybody else can be sitting there and nothing going on, and immediately He'll confront you with no warning. The Bible says that He suddenly shone all around him tonight. But I see tonight when He confronts you, number one, He'll immediately confront you. But I see number two, He will intentionally confront you. And you say, preacher, how do you know if He immediately shows up? How do I know He's talking to me and He ain't talking to the person sitting beside me? Hey, can I say tonight when He calls your name, He don't put you on speakerphone where everybody and their mama can hear it. Hey, it's a personal line. It's a direct line. It's straight to you, straight to your heart, and He'll call you by name. Hey, when He got here in this text, He said, not only is it immediately when it comes, hey, but it's intentionally. Here's what He said. He said, Saul, Saul, no way to interrupt it, no way to get it confused. He called him by name. He knew He was talking to him. Hey, Brother Kyle, can I ask you something tonight? Hey, that day that Jesus sat down on you, hey, you didn't think He was talking about Sister Megan. Can I get an amen? Hey, you knew He intentionally called your name. You knew that He was on your heart that night. I thank God tonight when He said, Saul, Saul, if He calls your name one time, that's pretty important. Hey, but when He calls your name the second time, hey, you better pay attention. Can I get an amen? I want you to know my name is BJ. Hey, but when I was little, if my mama ever said, William, man, I'm telling you, I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was done up as far as I could get, and I needed help. Hey, I knew she done confronted me and wanted me to do something. Hey, but tonight I want you to know, Jesus will confront you. Number one, He will immediately confront you, and He'll intentionally confront you. Saul, Saul. But let me give you this. When He confronts you, He will instruct you on what to do. Look what He says here in the text. I love this. He will instruct you on what you need to do. Look what He says. He says this, and He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling, get this tonight, and astonished said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. They heard that voice, but they seen no man. You said, what are you talking about, preacher? Have you ever been in a service? And I'm talking about the Spirit of God confront you, and you get to that place, and when He confronts you, you'll never be the same. And that person beside you, He didn't confront them. He didn't talk to them that night. He didn't talk to them that day, but He confronted you right where you were at. Hey, I've seen God do things over here at this church that just blows my mind. I'll never forget one day we was having a service here, and you're talking about the Spirit of God confronting somebody, and man, the Spirit was working. I'm talking about He was in overdrive. He was in overtime, and He was working it out. Can I get an amen? And as He was doing that, we were standing here, and there was people from this corner all the way across, and they had done been confessing, asking God to save them, rededicating their life, getting right with God. And I'll never forget one lady. She was standing here, and as she got confessing what was going on in her life, I was thinking, oh God, if anybody hears that, we're in over our head, and we're in trouble. Hey, if this gets out on Facebook, Facebook. Can I get an amen? If this gets out on Facebook, the church is over. We've sunk and it ain't never going to be the same. And when I turned around, I'll never forget when she got confessing of what was going on in her life. I turned around and what I said is this. I said, listen, if I see that on Facebook from anybody in this church, you don't have to worry about somebody coming to you. I'm going to come to you myself, because that's not the world's business. That's between her and God. And when I got done with the service that day, we went to walk out. I had one of the deacons come to me and said, preacher, why'd you get so excited? Why'd you get so upset? I said, man, did you not hear what she said? He said, you couldn't hear a word that she said. She wasn't audibling nothing out of her mouth. You know what, folks? There was something coming out, but you just couldn't hear it. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, you just couldn't hear what she was saying, because she was talking to her and God, and she was carrying on that conversation. That's been like that many a times in my life. When that Spirit of God confronts you and he lets you know that you're living wrong, you're going down the wrong path, you're on the wrong road, and it won't work, and he's telling you to turn around, get on the right track, get on the right path, don't keep going the same way. You say, will he keep letting me go? Friends, I want you to know there's not a person alive that he'll let continue down that same road. He will confront every human being that's got air in their lungs. I see number one tonight, he confronts you. That's what he said to Saul here. He confronted him. You say, how do you know he heard it? The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Who was the word of God? Jesus. Who art thou? Jesus. Number two tonight, let me show you this in the text, and I love this tonight. The light suddenly appears. You're in the darkness, now you're in the light. And here's what happens. Number one, Jesus will confront you. He will confront you in your life, in the walk that you walk. And number two, when he confronts you, he will convict you. Nobody he'll ever confront that he don't convict. If there's anything in your, if you're not saved, and you hear the name of Jesus, it's going to convict you. I'm telling you. If he confronts you, he'll convict you. That's who he is. He's holy. He's not a rock and roll Jesus. He's not a hippie Jesus. He's not a Harley Davidson Jesus. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? And look what he said here. I love this. He confronted him, but he convicted him. Look in verse 5. Here's what Jesus said. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Acts chapter number 4 in verse number 12, you say, what is the importance of the name Jesus? The Bible says, if you'll turn with me there, just right back to Acts chapter number 4 in verse number 12, that name of Jesus, man, this will get down to your core. It'll get down to your heart tonight. When he confronts you, he will convict you tonight. He don't want you to keep going the same way. And the Bible says tonight in Acts chapter number 4 in verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name tonight. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, I might be saved. I'll think about being saved. Tonight, the only way to get to heaven and to have a relationship with God is through the name of Jesus Christ tonight. He says, number one, he'll confront you. Number two, he will convict you. He said, the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted, for there is no other. When I thought about that, when he said, I am Jesus, I want you to think about what he meant when he said, I am Jesus. And he says, I am the only potentate. I'm the only ruler. He said, I am the only king. He said, I am the only Lord. I am the only provider. I am your only high priest. I am the only Alpha. I am the only Omega. I'm the only way. I'm the only truth. I'm the only life. I'm the only one can save you. I'm the only one can help you. I'm the only one that can deliver you. I'm the only one that can put things back together. I'm the only one that can heal a broken heart. I'm the only one can get you off this Damascus road and get you on the right road. Hey, you're trying to quit? I am the answer. I am the way. I am the truth. And when I get thinking about that tonight, and that light shone down, that's exactly what happened in my life when he saved my soul. You said, preacher, how do you know that tonight? Look at this with me. Look in verse number 6. How do you know when that light shines? How do you know I've been affected? How do you know something's going on? Number one, there's a trembling, amen? You ever get in the presence of Jesus, there's a trembling. If you can stand there saluted, high hat, man, just I'm talking about a high roller. You think you all that, you ain't in the presence of Jesus. Huh? You ever get in the presence of Jesus, you'll know it. Number one, look what he says. Who art thou? I'm Jesus. Woo, glory, I'm Jesus. Man, look what he says. And he, talking about Saul, trembling. He trembled. I don't know about you, but that night that the light shined on me, Brother Eric, and I got saved. I was sitting back there. I'm telling you, man. He had confronted me, and he put a conviction on me that night sitting back there. I didn't go to church to get saved. I didn't go to church, do none of them things. I just went to church. Can I get a witness? I just went to church. Wasn't looking for nothing. Wasn't expecting nothing. I was just going to be going. When I sat down back there and the Holy Ghost of heaven sat down on me and he introduced me to Jesus Christ, I want you to know there was a trembling coming over me. My wife sitting there beside me, she's like, what's wrong? What's going on? I'm just shaking, you know. Man, I'm just shaking all over. I am squalling, Brother Roy. I am under such conviction in my life. And you say, what is conviction? When he shows me I'm in the wrong, I'm not living the life that I'm supposed to live. I don't have a relationship with him. And if I die, I'm going to a devil's hell and I need Jesus Christ. You talking about confront you and convict you. He showed me my wrongs and what I was doing and how I need to turn around and how I need to give my life to him. I sat there on that pew and I'm telling you, that light was shining down and it was burning on me like I had never seen before in my life. And I was sitting back there and I was trembling. I said, Lord God, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this? My wife said, are you okay? Do you need help? Hey, she couldn't help what was going on the inside. There was something burning inside of me. I got to trembling and I was astonished at what all he knew about me and how he was laying it out before me and how that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And I'll never forget that night in my life. It burned so dear in my heart because he showed me how dark I was, but what kind of light I could come into, how filthy I was, but how clean I could be, how dirty and filthy and undone a man that I was. But if I come to know a man named Jesus, it would be the blood of Jesus Christ that would cover my sins. And man, I'm telling you tonight, there's a trembling. I was astonished. Look what he did here. I love this. He said he'll confront you and Jesus will convict you. There'll be trembling. You can't stand in the presence of Jesus without trembling. Listen to me tonight, folks. You can't stand without something happening. These folks that walk to the altar and pop their gum, chew their gum, pop their gum. Listen to me. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You say, oh, no, you walk up there and you do what you want to. Go back out and live like you want to. Heaven's going to be your home. You'll die and go straight to the devil's hell. When a man comes to meet Jesus, there'll be a change in his life. I say this all the time. When I come to know Jesus and I got up, my wife no longer had a meth addict at home. She had a husband. She no longer had an alcoholic. She had a husband. I come in clothed, and then when I got home that night, I'll never forget it in my life. She looked at me like, who am I married to now? All these years we've been married, and you've been living like the devil, and you've been telling me this is the way of living now. Why? Number one, there's a trembling. That spirit confronted me. Amen. It convicted me. There's a trembling. I was astonished. Oh, gosh. First thing I thought of, I can't live this life. You know what he told me? You can't live it, but I can live it through you. The third thing, number one, he was trembling. Brother Eric, number two, he's astonished. But number three, you know what he did, and this is what people don't do. Here's what they don't do. And it's what you got to do. He surrendered. You know why we do Jesus on three after every service? When you throw them hands up and you say Jesus, you know when you throw them hands up, you know what that is? That's surrender. If you've ever been in trouble with the police and they pull up and they don't know who's guilty or who's innocent, you know what they tell you to do? Put your hands up. Well, I don't want to put up. You'll put them up. I'm not calling no names. I hear maybe some old boys out here. I said, can I get a witness? When they say put your hands up and they confront you, so I won't put them up. Let that taser get on your tail for a little bit. You'll put them up. Well, I ain't going. Yes, you will. You're not that bad. When they confront you and they put that on you, them hands go up. Until they find out who's innocent or who's guilty. Every time we leave this church, before we leave, we do Jesus on three. But you know why? Because I don't know who's guilty. Huh? And I don't know who's innocent. But I know this, the little innocence of the kids in this place. There's babies in this place that I'm telling you, grown folks may not raise their hands, but them little kids, you know what they'll do when Brother Brent gets up there before he ever says anything? They got both hands up. They got both hands up. Well, you're teaching them too early. You better teach them. The world's going to teach them something. You better go ahead and confront them with Jesus because the world's going to confront them with Jesus. You better go ahead and teach them how to live their life according to the Word of God because the world's going to teach them how to live like they want to live. And tonight, number two, he says this. He says, I'm going to confront you. I'm going to convict you. There was a trembling, and he surrendered. Let me show you the surrender here before we go to the next point. Let me get to the surrender right here. Let me show you this. He says this right here. Here's how he surrendered. And he says this, and he trembling and astonished. He trembled. He was astonished. Here's what he said. I love this. What will thou have me to do? He surrendered. What do you want me to do? Tonight I ask you a question. If you're sitting here and you're out of the will of God, why not say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know how you've been living. You know what's been going. Why don't you just say, Lord, what are you having me to do? You know what prayer is? It's nothing but just an honest conversation between you and God. laying your heart out on the line. But don't lay it out there if you're not willing to surrender to it. Don't lay it out there if you're not willing to surrender and say, Lord God, I'm yours, and you use me any way you want to. Number one, tonight, Jesus will confront you. Number two, Jesus will convict you. The third thing tonight, Jesus will change you. If you'll let him. I told you Sunday, there's two things he can't do that I know of. Number one, there's two things God cannot do. Number one, Titus chapter number one, verse number two, God cannot lie. It's not in him. He can't lie. He'll never has lied, never will lie. It ain't in him. And the second thing that God cannot do, he cannot save somebody that will not repent. If they will not allow him to save them, he will not save them. We'll give this to you tonight. Look in verse 8. Up to this point, Saul's been confronted. He's been convicted. And now the Lord's wanting to change him. And he's willing for that change. He's willing to be born again. He's willing to be changed. He's willing to be set free. He's willing. But up to this point, Saul was hateful. He was killing Christians. He was killing them. Now he's humble. You ever seen somebody like that? Man, you used to know them, and they was. Woo! And now you know them, you're like, man, that can't even be the same person. Man, you used to have a filthy mouth. You know what I'm saying? Take the Lord's name in vain. Man, that was me. I'm talking about, I couldn't use a word without using it. And now I can't stand it. Never would read a Bible. Now I can't get away from it. Y'all illustrate with me. Used to love rock and roll music. Oh, headbanging. Come on. Now I don't even want that stuff. Because I understand that distorts the truth of what God's told me to live and how to do. Saul was hateful, now he's humble. Why? How do you know that, preacher? Because he's being led. Instead of being the leader, he's being led. Look what the Bible says here. In verse number 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him. He's under somebody else. He letting somebody else lead him. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, right where the Lord would have him to be. Saul was the enemy of Jesus at one point. Now he's the servant of Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, tonight to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Share this with you. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Now I want to read in verse number 12 tonight. He'll change you. He'll confront you. He'll convict you. And he'll change you. I know a lot of mamas and daddies that's prayed for their kids, prayed they'd be changed. They tried to change them all their life, and they never could. No change would come. They said, I'm going to quit doing that. I'm just going to pray for you and give you to Jesus. I'll never forget my mom. She said, I'm just going to turn you over to Jesus. It wasn't very many weeks after that, I was praying she'd take me back, get him off of me. Can I get a witness? Look what he says, 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12. This is the same man that's been confronted, that's been convicted, but he's been changed. It's the same man talking right here. And I thank Christ Jesus. What? He was killing them. Now he's thanking him. He was persecuting him, Brother Austin. Now he's thanking him. That's what happens when there's a change. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. I blasphemed against the church and him. And a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance and in unbelief. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And he said, let me tell you something. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And here's what Paul said, or Saul Paul. At this point, he's Paul. Here's what he said. He didn't back down from where he used to be. He said, boys, I've had a rough past, and I'm not going to glory. You can find my past. You can go dig it up anytime you want to. Only thing you won't find, I'm not there. Huh? You can go dig up my past all you want to. You can go to Marion County, get in the county records, and dig up all you want to about me. When I became pastor of this church, I told them right off the bat what I had on me. And I said, hey, we'll go either way you want to go. You can let me go. We'll either do this together, or we'll go somewhere. Fine. I want to be honest with you, though. You can find my past, but you won't find me in it. That's when the change occurs. I know a lot of people that's been confronted that's still in their past. You don't believe me? They got a passcode on their phone. Huh? You're not getting in it. You're not getting in their business. You're not getting in nothing they're doing. That's good. There's one place you can't put a passcode, and that's on your heart. He'll search that heart anytime he wants to, anywhere he wants to, and ever how he wants to search it, he can get in it. You can't lock it down. He'll get in there and search it. He said, I've seen old boys, they've been convicted, and they're still in the same place. But I've never seen one, Brother Eric Kruth, that's been changed, that's still in their past. I've never seen one, Brother Roy, that's been touched by the blood of Jesus, been washed by the blood of Jesus, and still living in their past. Never have. I've seen them where they've been confronted, and they go back to living the same old way. I've seen where they've been convicted. They know they're guilty, but they keep living the same old. But I've never seen one that's been truly changed. Like Paul, the whole name changed. Didn't even know the man. That's still in their past. Look what he says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And Paul said, boys, I am the chief. He said, it don't get no worse than I am, but he saved me. Tonight, I don't know about you, but you say, preacher, if I've done too much to not be, you can't do too much. You can't do too much. There's only one chief. Paul said he was the chief. He said, I'm the chief of sinners, and he saved me. Anything you do follows up right up underneath what he did. Let me give you this tonight. Verse number 18 of the text, as we go back, verse number 18. Acts 9:18, Jesus will change you. And immediately, how long does it take you to change? Son, immediately. Immediately. Brother Austin, before I got saved, I hate taking drug tests. I hated it. After I got saved, whatever you want to do. Amen? Check your hair. If you can find any hair, check it. Amen? 15 years been clean. Thank you, Jesus. And immediately there fell from his eyes, and it had been scales, and he received sight. Let me stop here and say, no longer was he blind. He could see. And he arose. No longer was he bound. He was set free. He arose and was baptized. Baptism didn't save him, but it proved that there had been a change in his life. It proved that the blood, that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and there was a change in his life. If you have never been saved, do it today. If God is confronting you, if he's convicting you, and if you're willing to change. They said, I'm going to give you this and we're going to close. They said that word there, he told him, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And they said what that was, it'd be a long, sharp object that when they would plow with an oxen, they'd put it behind that oxen. Had a sharp point right on the end. And when that oxen would go and he'd want to go a different way, or he didn't want to do what the man that was leading him was doing, he'd just do what, you couldn't control him. But they'd put that there. And every time that old ox would get there and he didn't want to do what the master wanted him to do, he'd go to kick that prick, that sharp, metal, hard object. He'd go want to kick it. And when he'd kick it, it'd stick him. And he'd kick it again, but eventually he'd quit kicking. You know what he'd do? He'd surrender. Eventually he'd see the light. There's some of us in this room that's kicked more than others. Can I get a witness? But it doesn't matter if you've kicked one time or you've kicked 100 times. The same thing's true. He will confront you on your Damascus road. I believe there's not a person alive that does not get confronted in this life by the Holy Ghost of heaven. I've said it, I'll say it again. He's not a fair God. If you think God's fair, you've overlooked him, because if he's fair, we all go to hell. Right? If he's fair, we all go to hell, because that's what we all deserve, but he's just. He said he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe he confronts. I believe he convicts. And I believe tonight when a man will open his heart, he is the only person that can change a person from the inside out. Tonight, if you've never been changed, what a glorious night it'd be to be changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I thank God that he changed me. There's days I don't feel saved. There's days I don't act saved. And there's days I don't look saved. There's not a day in my life I don't know that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, because he reminds me every day. Oh, Satan tries to tell me different. But I know there's been a change. Can I get amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for this night. I thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for that blessed book. Thank you for Brother Paul there. Father, there's a change in his life. Father, one of the greatest changes in the Bible with Brother Paul. Lord, he was on Damascus Road killing Christians, persecuting the church, persecuting Jesus. And Lord God, you saved him. Lord, you reached right down on that Damascus Road and saved his soul. And Lord, you allowed him to write 13 epistles here in this Bible. Lord God, you allowed used him in a mighty way. And Lord, I know tonight you didn't save everybody you saved in this room tonight or all over this world. You saved us for a purpose. And that's to spread your word and let them know that there's a change when we come to know Jesus. Father, I love you and I thank you. Thank you for this night. Thank you for the baptism we're fixing to do. Lord, I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. But I thank you most of all for the blood of Jesus. Have your will and way in this service, and we'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Don't leave. Just keep sitting there.